Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. So today I will be talking about development of a cluster file for germplasm integrase lines with Gossypium diploids. So earlier in 2014, a cotton SNP chip was developed. This chip includes a fixed number of 50,000 intraspecific and 20,000 interspecific chips, SNPs, potential SNP assays in relation to the cultivated cotton, Gossypium hirsutum. A cluster file was also developed to better utilize the data generated by the chip. So the chip, the cluster file that was developed was targeted to the primary gene pool of the tetraploids and two diploids, Longicalyx and Armorianum. The focus of the new cluster file is to optimize this cluster file for additional genomes, that is the Arboreum, the A2 genome, Longicalyx, the F1, and the Raimondii, which is the D5, and Trilobium, which is the D8. So to understand the use of a cluster file in automated genotyping, it is essential to know what part it plays. So this is a format of the workflow for automated genotyping. So a SNP manifest and a sample sheet are sent for the SNP chip analysis. The manifest contains the location and the location of individual SNP and its sequence, and the sample sheet contains the samples that are on the chip, which is sent for analysis to Illumina for the chip analysis, which generates the intensity data, which is what is used to call automated genotyping. So the SNP manifest, the sample sheet, and the intensity data are together uploaded onto the Genome Studio software, which contains the genotyping module to call genotypes for the different samples. So this software uses the cluster file to call genotypes based on their location in the cluster position. So this generates the report. So the cluster file is an integral part to reliably call genotypes for the samples involved. So what is a cluster file? A cluster file is a file that contains the normalized theta and the normalized R values for every genotype for every SNP that is included in the manifest. So what this file does is it gives us a graphical representation of the intensity data for individual samples and their genotypes. So it enables the cluster callers, Genome Studio genotyping module to call genotypes based on the intensity data of the different samples. And we can see the SNPs. The leftmost corner is the parent one, which is one genotype. The rightmost one is the other genotype that's homozygous for the other SNP. And the one in between is the heterozygote. So why do we need a separate file for diploids, for diploid integrase materials? It's because the initial file that was developed is optimized for tetraploid materials. When this cluster file is used to automatically genotype samples containing diploids, the GenTrain scores, the reliability scores given to individual genotype calls are lower, leading us to believe that the SNP is probably not very efficient for this clustering. But when diploids are involved, the cluster positions are different from the expected, which is why they need to be readjusted for diploids specifically to improve the efficiency in genotyping calls. So the samples that were included to develop this new cluster file were the initial samples that were actually used to make the cluster files, all the tetraploids and the two diploids of which we have SNPs. And then we included Gossypium arboreum, Gossypium turberi, Gossypium raimondii, and Gossypium trilobium. Special interest to my project, which is development of chromosome segment substitution lines for with A2D1, which is why the A2D1 and their BC1s and their F1 is included in the sample diploid cluster file formation, is because I hope to use this file to develop usable markers for my material. So the method involved in developing a new cluster file is to use the SNP manifest and the sample sheet from for all the samples included, and the intensity data for these samples from the initial SNP chip that was ran, and the Genome Studio software. So once these are uploaded, we use the Genome Studio software to manually adjust the clusters for all the 63,000 SNPs and readjust the clusters or remove failed SNPs, and also log a list of SNPs that give more than three traditional clusters that is expected for diploids, so that this list can be used for other population studies to recluster them to suit that needs of that study. And the final aspect of this is to generate a new cluster file that can be used for the specific population that it's developed for, and then to make a report of the genotype calls for the samples involved. So what a failed SNP looks like is on the left, on the right, is the score is low, it's zero, so they failed to amplify for that SNP. So these need to be unclustered for the diploid file. The one on the right is a cluster with four distinct clusters. So this needs to be made a note of so that it can be reclustered once for individual populations. So one other aspect that we hope to use, that I hope to use this diploid cluster file, is to develop markers for the introgression line study that I'm doing for A2D1. So based on the SNP results, we found 17,000 markers of the 70,000 that work for A2D1 introgression line development. So as a preliminary analysis of seeing if we can use the SNPs for marker-assisted selection, I took a sample of 100 SNPs, each from the Armorianum and the Longicalyx SNPs, to test if I can use them as CASP assays for marker-assisted selection. So why we picked the diploid species is because the genomes, the Longicalyx, the F1 genome, is most closely related to the A2 in the synthetic tetraploid, and the D21 of the Armorianum is most closely related to the D1 in the synthetic tetraploid that is under study. So when I say it's a useful SNP, what I mean is in the first picture, all the samples, the brightly colored samples in pink, blue, and orange, are A2D1 material for population studies. So in this first SNP, all of them are clustered in one single cluster. So it's my assumption that once a CASP assay is run, they will all cluster in one single position, and I will not be able to tell the genotypes apart. So that particular SNP, though it works, is not useful for my samples. So when I say a useful SNP, what I mean is an example on the right. So the pink samples are the BC1F1s, and I have parent 1 in one cluster on the right and the parent 2 in another cluster. So why this cluster is clustered to the right is because my assumption is that this SNP is located on two different genotypes, which is, for example, AADD. Both dominant, one of the genotypes is segregating while the other is not. So this is a useful SNP. That is how we found the number of 17,000 that are useful for my material. So of the 100 SNPs that were analyzed in the screening panel, we found about 1/4 of the SNPs were developing into clear clusters that can be used for marker-assisted selection. So the assumption is that once this project is completed, that we would have a cluster file that is specific for diploids and a list of markers that can be reclustered for individual studies. So depending on the study that is under, depending on the genome that they're using to study, we can use the list that is developed to recluster the samples. And then find markers that are useful for integration studies involving the A2D1 in synthetic tetraploid. We hope to have a linkage map of all the markers that are working for my samples, find markers that successfully are converted into CASP assays, use them for marker-assisted selection to develop an integration line. So, we acknowledge the AgriLife Research and the Illumina for providing us with the software, and Cotton Incorporated for funding our research. Thank you.
Do we have questions for Imani?
I think very good presentation.
Thank you.
Imani, how easily could this be used to work with interspecific combinations? Specifically, you had a Barbadensi times Upland line.
I really do not know, but I'm assuming that it should be a good way to find. I don't know the answer.
Can you repeat the question and answer through the microphone?
Do you want me to repeat
Please
the question?
Repeat the question.
Okay.
I think I can answer.
My question was, how useful would this technology be for interspecific combinations, specifically Upland times Barbadensi combinations?
So the interspecific SNPs, the 20,000 of them, I think 10,000 are from Barbadensi. So I'm thinking it should be really useful for those kind of crosses. I think they're already using these SNPs in our lab for that kind of cross.
Okay. And I think Jody's got a question.
I just have a quick question. For someone that has some familiarity with the PUSAs and the cluster files, how long did it take you to learn how to do this and to be able to carry out the project that you talked about?
So I'm not completely done with the project yet, but to learn how to recluster, it was pretty easy. I don't think it was very difficult. I think it took me about 4 or 5 days to get the hang of clustering it. That's it. Reclustering for 63,000 SNPs, that's what takes us time.
I understand it takes time, but to be able to learn how to do it, you think it's fairly user-friendly?
Mm-hmm. It is user-friendly.
Okay, thank you.
My question is, out of this, the chip has about 70,000,
mm-hmm.
but for your purpose, let's say you identified about 2,000,
mm-hmm.
how do you, in the future, how do you use this 2,000? I guess use the chip would be too expensive. You have to get a subset of these 2,000 to use in the chip.
So how we selected the SNPs to run CASP assays was we used the sequences from the SNP sequences from the chip and identified the list of. So in this list, we have 17,000 that work for my project. So off this, we used the batch primer the program to find SNPs that seemed to work best based on the Q score. That's how we selected SNPs. Did I answer your question?
So basically, you convert from Illumina to Casper.
Mm-hmm. We are trying to use Casper from the Illumina, and we were successful about 1/4 of the SNPs that were screened in the panel.
Good. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.